not strange? Think it not strange, this type of worship or this type of presence? This is my presence. And I love when you come in and just open your hearts unto me and love on me and just speak to me out of the depths of your heart. I know what's in your heart. I know how your heart is. I know what your desires are. I've placed desires within you. And I desire for you to come and just worship me with your voice. To come and magnify me. And just let everything go and just come into my presence. And bask in my presence. And allow me to move in you and through you upon all your circumstances and situations. All those are subject to change as you enter in and worship me with all your heart. As you just come into my presence and magnify me and tell me how much you love me. Tell me how much you want my will for your life. For when you open yourselves up like this, I can come and move through you, and you will learn to hear my voice as you listen from where you worship me, as you listen from where you adore me and magnify me from. I will come to that place and I will speak to you. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will direct you, and you'll walk through every storm. You'll walk through and you'll rise above every circumstance and situation as you enter in and magnify me with your voice, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, that you worship me and adore me, says the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It is no longer business as usual. No longer business as usual. So prepare yourselves. Get ready. As one would prepare themselves for battle. I am Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of the army of the hosts. Go forth. I have given you authority. Prepare yourselves, I say. Get ready. No longer business as usual. Use your authority. I will back you up.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we
hallelujah.
Praise thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord,
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
Es de flan dochlet.
Praise you, Jesus.
Bestiefle mochle say. The wise will hear and understand what the Spirit has to say through all these prophets, saith the Spirit of grace. For understand this, have I not notified you in advance of things in the Spirit that you could not see with a natural eye? And yet things that were transpiring beyond your ability to see and to hear. Did not I tell you that your enemy weeks ago was fearful of slipping from a post that he had of authority over your lives and losing faithful ground that he had had by his arsenal against your life through the decades? But know this, those things, as I prophesied, have come to pass, saith the Spirit of grace.
Hallelujah.
How would you know? Would you wait for natural circumstances to tell you? No, I say unto you, hear the voice of the Spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. Hear the voice of one looking into that realm and seeing quite adequately those things that have taken place. For know this, this morning stands as your witness, not to an individual, not to a few, but collectively, you have all come up higher, saith the Spirit of grace. Know this, that ground, severe ground, has been taken in the Spirit. And many of you locate that. Many of you can locate things that you've been able to accomplish in recent days, or a witness on the inside saying, come up higher. But know this, whether you can signify or cannot, I say unto you today, you are and have come up higher, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do these things interpret out? Says the natural mind. Well, you'll note this, that as one body comes up higher collectively, then in everything in their lives, even in their bodies, in their marriages, in their homes, in everything that is personal to them, you'll find even a higher level of authority and a deeper level of peace. Those who enter in know this. These things have come to you absolutely to a body, elevating you and bringing you ever closer to the outpouring that I promised that you would have. For without this, you could not go to the next place. But know this, your enemy licks his wounds this morning because there's a place that he does not have in you that he once had. But know this, take this opportunity to put the pedal to the metal and move forward, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Hallelujah. Since we're apt to pray around here, would you stretch your faith this way and pray for me? Hallelujah. I worship you, Jesus. As I pray, Father, I love you. Oh, Lord, for the visitation of the Holy Spirit, we are so eternally grateful. We never want to take it for granted, but we're so thankful that every time we come together, we can't think. I personally cannot think of a time in these years since we began to seek you with everything inside of us that you haven't come and showed up every single service. I love you, Jesus. So again, Holy Spirit, I am so dependent upon you. Teach me. Call myself a teacher likened unto Christ through His ability, not mine. Guide me with your grace and your wisdom. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. I usually don't speak much with notes. It's not that that's wrong. But I just noted a few scriptures this morning because this was what he was given to me as I was spending those early hours in prayer. So this is kind of fresh off the press, and so I needed to jot some scripture down. In fact, I'll have to listen and hear him as I go along, because some of this is familiar to myself in spirit, but not so much as in preparation this morning. Hallelujah. So we're going to go to several scriptures, but if you lose your way, catch us on the next one. So we need to move along. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:8. Just wanted to read in preparation to where we're going. And then we'll go to Matthew 6 and then Psalms 34. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. 2 Corinthians 4. I need to turn there. Man, we've had a good time already, haven't we? These ladies got me singing these songs up here in my heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can hear the church next door. Isn't that great? Yeah, all those kids disciplined into going. Hallelujah. They get to go next door because they want to and because mom and daddy says they have to. Isn't that great? You're going. No, I don't want to go. You're going or you'll get beat. Oh, that changes everything. Well, I just think you should let a child make up his own mind. Well, yeah. Admonish him. Because when he gets to a place in his life where he can make up his own mind, it will be the right thing. Hallelujah. I got knuckled in the back of the head in church. pinched a bunch of times. See, those are the things that you can do when nobody else is. Keep their soul out of hell. Honey, do you want to go next door? No. You'd think, oh God. No, I don't even want to go there. Hallelujah. All right, 2 Corinthians 4. It says, verse 7, I'll start there. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered over into death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. And we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present you or us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding internal weight of glory. Said all of that. Say this, verse 18. While we, that's us, me and you, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are, see, this is what faith says, not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary or temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? They're absolutely eternal. So it's how you see it. Matthew 6. So what are you looking into? I'm looking into the Spirit. That's my final say-so. I think one of the things that I was hearing in my spirit this morning is a couple of different words. And you'll hear them as we go along this morning, but one was mixture and the other one was suddenly. Two words, mixture, and then the other word, suddenly. But I think one of the things that we have to guard ourselves against as those that are going into the supernatural is trying to bring a mixture of our self imposed on faith. Trying to see something to encourage us in the natural. And it's okay when things do show up in the natural. It's okay when you get those tidbits of glory and something's working out where you say, hey, there's a telltale sign that things are working out. Wonderful. That's great. But it's not necessary. I said it's not necessary. And mixture is when we get our eyes, we're trying to look at the prize, we're trying to look at the things which are eternal, but we're also putting part of our weight is on the natural, and sometimes we don't even really realize that until the Holy Spirit begins to show us these things. Well, in the natural concerning our finances, that's just one area of our life. And sometimes the least important, but sometimes it can paramount to a place where it tries to look you right straight in the face and say, I'm not doing anything different than what is your temporary surroundings. Verse 25 of chapter 6, Matthew says this. Jesus is speaking. He says, therefore I say unto you, take some thought. Take what? Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Oh, yes. We're going to read it just a little bit further. But sowing and reaping in the natural is a good thing. It's a wise thing. You can find it backed up by the book of Proverbs. You can find it backed up by the wisdom of God. A certain amount of storage is good. It's a right thing to do. But when it becomes the prerequisite, when it becomes when your wisdom of the present or your wisdom of the past. See, I think one thing that the enemy tries to tell a whole bunch of us going forward is, we heard it Wednesday night or Friday night, it's the word failure. Or else, if he's not saying you're a failure, he's at least attaching, he's tagging something to your future based on your past, whether or not everything that is supposed to be coming to you by inheritance, have you done everything necessary to make all this come to pass in a quick manner? I mean, are you guilty in the past of not watching your P's and Q's? Did you not do this right? And do you live in any regret of like, boy, if I had to do that over again, I'd do it differently with my family, or I'd do it differently with my wife or my children, or I'd do it differently with my finances? Listen, this verse of Scripture has nothing to do with your past. Your provision has nothing to do with your past. There's no clause in here like, if you were once wise, now you can expect him to bring these things to pass. If you did everything right in your family, you can expect him to bring all this to pass. There's no clause in there like this. And when you begin to put a little bit of weight and see, the mastermind of a discussion is the one that tries to pull us away to kind of bring our equilibrium off balance and try to put part of us, because we are responsible in the spirit to do this, take no care and disperse all care over on him. That's our responsibility. Then he comes and levies on us the grace to live out our life in grace and truth. But it says here, he says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye? Oh, ye of little faith. Wherefore, take no thought, saying, out of that thought, what shall we eat, drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first. Now here's the whole thing. Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But 33 just sums it all up and says, look, here's the whole thing. Seek him. Seek the kingdom first. Here's the whole thing. Don't get over there in that place where you're looking at the surroundings of 2010 or even problems that you may have had in the past or anything less than what you know right now to be wisdom. But do what? Seek first the kingdom of God. And that's it. Everything else gets added unto you. Psalms 34. Hallelujah. How many of you love Jesus this morning? Psalm 34 says basically the same thing that Jesus was saying. He said this, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked into Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. There is no what? Want to them that fear Him. Now, when he said no want, he means no want. Now, we're talking a little bit right now, coming out of the curve of Matthew chapter 6 about financial things. But when he said no want, he means a placid place in your life where you can expect Him to get over to you what you're looking into Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you're looking into Him and saying, Lord, the temporal, it's not eternal. What I'm seeing is not what is, it's not what will be. There's a change taking place if I'm standing and doing what? If I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. If I'm allowing Him to come and change my life internally, then it does not matter what I see. There's no expectations on change. Whether change comes progressively or if change comes suddenly, it does not matter. Change is coming. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Now the psalmist said here, he said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Fear the Lord, ye His saints. There's no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord. Those that what? Those that what? Seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. He said the young lions, now when the lions got a little older, they may not have been able to run as fast. But you're talking about the epitome of an eating machine. I mean, they are the as the shark is to the ocean, as the crocodile or alligator is to the inshore rivers and ponds, all they are. That's why they are the king of the jungle. Massive jaws, tremendous teeth, hindquarters that are just nothing but has the strength of leaping ability, and that's all they are, is an eating machine. That's why they're the king of the jungle. But he said there may be a time where the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not what? Want any good thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. It does not matter what the time or the season in your life is. The prerequisite or the way that God is able to channel anything over to me is this. Jesus becomes first and foremost. My intimacy with Him becomes my ongoing desire. And everything that He desires to get over to me, He gets over to me not because there's nothing listed here, nothing listed there at all, other than the fact that from the point that I choose that He can get stuff over to me, then I have to begin to speak and watch my mouth and get my mouth into agreement with what my heart says. Amen. Hallelujah. Because He says this, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken to me, I'll teach you how all this works. Oh, really? Yeah. What man of you desires life and wants to get the blessing that He said, I'll get over to you? Well, this is how it happens. If you love many days, you want to see good? Yes, I do. Then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Hallelujah. First prerequisite. First, did not say, okay, gospel entrepreneur, if you were ready for these times or weren't ready. If you look back and say, boy, I could have done something different, that doesn't matter to God. Family man, a woman in the household that says, my God, I know that we're kind of here in our house because of all these other things in years gone by. That's not listed there. Hallelujah. That has nothing to do with it. One thing has something to do with it. I'm going to seek the Lord, and out of that seeking the Lord, everything that I see in that which is eternal is what I'll report. with my words. Hallelujah. I won't sabotage myself, nor will I think myself indifferent to God, that when the report comes from my mouth based on how I'm doing, it is based on this and this alone. Well, how are you doing? I'll tell you how's your body doing there, fella? Sometimes we'll ask because we're concerned about somebody. Well, I'll tell you this. And usually when they give us a report concerning the word, a lot of times we'll take that as, oh, it's really that bad, huh? Oh, it's, you know, we're thinking, oh, well, yes and amen. Glory to God. But when somebody steps up and says this, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus bore in His body my infirmity. That's not a statement of weakness. That's an absolute statement of looking into the internal and eternal and saying, this is the report of the Lord and everything else is subject to change. Well, what about it? Is it changing? It's changing every time that I look into that place and confess that Jesus Christ is my healer. Is there any progress? I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter if it hasn't suddenly or if it happens. Oh, if it's a progression, can you move that arm a little bit? Oh, well, yeah, it's getting a little. But if the arm's not moving faster or better, or if it's still there just as much as it ever was, I'm looking into the eternal, and this is what I'm saying. I am healed. What about that family? Is you guys getting along any better? How's the communication? Is it better? You guys able to sit in the same room, drink coffee and talk to each other, or are you still in separate bedrooms? Well, I'm going to tell you something. The progressionary is a complement to anything in life. It can confirm, but it is not absolutely necessary. One thing is necessary. I seek first His kingdom, and His report says, I am free. He whom the Son has set free, all my children are gathered around me. What about your finances? I can tell you about my finances. The young lions lack and suffer hunger. Are you giving me a weak report? Oh, it's that bad, Pat. Oh, no. It's that good. I don't have to give any other kinds of supplemental faith as evidence to say this is working for me, except the report of the Lord, and that report is suddenly. Hallelujah. It changes. Now, this is the part you'll have to bear with me on, especially. Let's turn to 2 Kings, because this I'm not so familiar. I'm familiar with this portion of Scripture, but not so much where we'll start and stop. I think chapter 6. I'm going to read to you of a bad, bad, bad situation. I don't know what you can imagine in your life as things not being well or going the other direction. And I'm not asking you really to do that, because I think you should guard your mind at all times. But this is probably one of the low times in the nation of Israel. Israel and Judah are divided, 10 kingdoms to the north and 2 kingdoms to the south. And the headquarters, I'm giving you some background now, the capital city of Israel, the 10 tribes, is in Samaria. And Syria has besieged Samaria. And this is probably a low point. A low point. And this just happens to be during the tenure of Elisha. Not Elijah, but Elisha, the understudy of Elijah, the prophet. And the king of Syria was planning to make war and destroy and on and on and on. And so we get a look into the power of God. And we get a look into the power of God through Elisha's ministry. And so I might have to kind of meander here for just a moment. But look at chapter 6, and we'll start around verse 8. And it says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, inasmuch and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there, not once, but nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel? So he thought there's a real spy. Because every time I try to destroy Israel, it's my plans are revealed. And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. I mean, you know, private, right in the... There's nothing. He's reading his mind. He's reading his heart. God's Spirit is. And then speaking through Elisha to the king of Israel. And he said, go spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, he's down at Dothan. So we'll skip over. And there's a lot of good reading here. And you can read it for yourself later. And basically, might as well, because it'll take me right up to 18 here. Verse 14, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. This is this place, Dothan, where Elisha's at. And when the servant of the man of God was risen up early to go forth, or gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? I mean, this is a physical army that's sitting there looking at him. And he answered, he's asking Elisha. This is the servant of Elisha. He's scared spitless. He's shaking in his boots. All these Syrians are sitting out there looking at him. And then Elisha answered unto him. He said, verse 16, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they be that be with them. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's still true today. That is still true today. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Glory be to God. See, that's around about me all the time. That's what's happening in our life. We got an announcement this morning. He said we'd come up higher. I received that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I bet you those angels are really happy. It makes their job easier. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord. He said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So we're going to skip on down. Elisha brings them into Samaria, and there's some more stuff there that's really interesting. But verse 25 says, there was a great famine. This is where I was saying it really got bad. I mean, you can't imagine. We're not even the tip of the iceberg in America today to the things that are happening at this point in time. Verse 25 says, there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until the donkey's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. And the fourth part of a cab, that's like a vial or a certain measure of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now, just for you to grasp this for a moment. The city was besieged by the Syrians. There's thousands of people inside these walls. And the famine and the besiegement had lasted so long that people were starving, literally starving to death. And it gives you the quantity amount that a donkey's head, part of an animal part, was sold for at a precious price just to keep from starvation. It went on down to they were eating dove's dung just to survive. I mean, how bad can it get? How bad can it get? They were selling, if there was anything, I mean, money wasn't the problem, food was the problem. But see, my God supplies all my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And it doesn't matter at any time, anywhere, any place on planet Earth. the progression of the natural has nothing to do with God's supply into my life. If the owie is slowly going away, wonderful. But if it still hurts as much today as it did yesterday, the progression has nothing to do with God's work in my life. His Word and His Word alone is all I look at. If the family is still not getting along as much as they ever or should be, if the halves have not come together perfectly as of yet, and there's still no partial, oh, well, we're talking a little bit better, or we're wonderful. That's good. That helps in the natural. Those kind of things are wonderful. They can give some kind of encouragement. They are not necessary. What is necessary is this. My God has an army around about me, and He's working daily, whether the soreness is still there, whether the hurt is still there, whether the miscommunication is still there, it is coming to pass just as I say it's coming pass. Because the army's still there. Look, when did the army of angels show up? When did they show up? When Elisha said, God, open this young man's eyes. I mean, he's scared spitless. He can't move. He's paralyzed. He's looking at all these hundreds of chariots and these men, and they're just right there. God said, you know, Elisha's calm. He's cool. He's collected. And He said, Lord, you might as well let him see what I see. I don't know. It didn't really say Elisha even saw it. He said, Lord, open his eyes. He might have been so filled with faith that realm that he walked in was just all around him all the time. He was like, you know what? For his benefit, God, open his eyes. In fact, we walk not by sight, but by faith. Elisha may not even have seen him. It doesn't say that he saw him. It just said, open his eyes. And my God, when he opened his... Now, when did that army show up? When his eyes were opened, or were they always there? They were always there. They were always there. Something was happening. Something was surrounding them. This army of angels and warriors followed Elisha's ministry just like they follow mine and your ministry when we continue to seek the Lord and speak His Word out of our mouth. Hallelujah. And you're going to see that same army showing up in this next chapter when a dove's dung was sold for such and such because there's such a famine, and this thing progressed to an unthinkable quality. It says in verse 26 that the king of Israel was passing by the wall, upon the wall, and there cried a woman unto him, saying, now this is taking place right in the midst of this famine. Help, my Lord, O king. So he's walking in Samaria, and this woman cries out, and he catches his attention. She's screaming from across the yard or the street or the wall. She said, help my Lord. And he said, if the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor, or out of the wine press. And the king said unto her, what aileth thee? I mean, what's your problem, lady? And she answered this. Well, I've got this beef. This is the problem. This is the problem. This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we'll boil my son and did eat him. So we boiled my son and did eat him. Now look at this. Is this a low state? Cannibalism? I mean, this is human nature personified without Christ, preservation at all cost. People can't imagine how those things can happen when devils fortify a city and people are starving day after day. This woman reports, she said, this, we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her the next day, give thy son that we may eat him. and she's hid her son. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes, and they passed upon the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth within upon his flesh. Look at verse 1, chapter 7. I mean, is that a bad situation or what? I mean, are these people shut up, or I mean, has the demoralization of humanity at its greatest depth? They're cannibalizing their children. That's bad. I can't think of anything worse. Now watch this. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour," my God, that sounds a whole lot better than a donkey's head or dove's dung, "be sold for a shekel." That's not much money at all. "And 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned." Now watch this. A Lord on the hand, it says here, whose hand the king leaned. This king that was walking in Samaria in the most horrid of reports, and it is epitomized by a woman saying, "We cannibalized my son yesterday, and today we were supposed to eat her son, and she's hid." And he rents his clothes, and he begins to cry out, and he's angry at the prophet, and he despises. And it says here that Elisha begins to prophesy right out of all this mess to Samaria and says, okay, the unthinkable is going to happen. You're going to go from extreme poverty with nothing and no ability to care for yourself, with a city shut up, with an army encamped around about you, and nobody can get in to bring supplies. I mean, it's an impenetrable, it's something that cannot be fixed in the natural. And the king is listening to all this, and here the king hears this when the prophet speaks and the word of the Lord comes to pass, and this is the word of the Lord: "I am going to meet the need of Samaria tomorrow. This is how it's going to drastically change. Whereas you were fighting and quarreling and spending mega bucks for a nothing, tomorrow it is going to be so fat, so full, so abundant, so abundant in 24 hours' time that precious quantities of meat and drink and barley and everything else that makes up the substance of a person's life, it'll be sold at a small, fair market price. It won't have the quality of the treachery." Verse 1 says, or verse 2, "Then a Lord," I don't know who this man was, might mention his name here a little bit, I didn't really have the time to look that up, "Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said this," because I want you to see this, because this Lord is the same Lord that rules even in the church and in most Christians' life, because they cannot see how that their present circumstances can change without the natural first changing into a progression. But God says, "None of that is important to me. I am the God of more than enough. I can change things overnight. I can change them suddenly right now. And I don't need you leaning on any other flesh, not yours, not any report, not Fox, not anybody else, to say, how's things going to be for me next year or next week or next month? Suddenly, right now, the time of the Lord is, if I will believe Him and not lean on the hand of this Lord, this, well, how's things going? Well, can you see any, Like Gary said, can you see any light in the tunnel? Forget the light. You don't need the light. He's the light. How's things progressing? Well, are you, and I'm one of the worst, and it's okay because are you picking up any jobs or is anything, how's this going? Do you see any progression? Wonderful if it's there. Maybe that's a compliment. But if it does not, if it doesn't appear, you keep speaking the word because all that matters, I'm not going to lean on this Lord and say, are things progressing to testify to me that something is in progress? Hallelujah. All I need is His Word. Glory be to God. It's not a progression with God. It's now. The moment I said, God, I turn this thing over to You, my family, my life, my finances, my health, my body. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, ha, 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 behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, well, that's about what He's fixing to do, mister. Might this thing be? You know, you're an idiot. Do you see what we're... How's this going to take place? You ever had your mind argue with you? You ever had somebody, you know, you're... Boy, I wish somebody would give me some... You know, and we pick each other for encouragement. How's things going? You see any light in the tunnel? Getting this going? Are you getting that going? You know, you guys getting along any better? Or, you know, how's the family? You heard from them? Are they... I'm telling you. You lean on that Lord, He'll let you down. That Lord will let you down. There's another Lord that cries from heaven. I am the Lord of truth. God, that's all I need. Feel it. He's mocking the man of God. He said, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thy eyes. This is the rebuttal of Elisha. But thou shalt not eat thereof. Oh, you'll see what I'm about to, what I've told you is going to take place. We're going to go from poverty to the embellishment of God just like that, suddenly. See, the Holy Ghost didn't come progressively. He came suddenly. They didn't say, I'm feeling Him more today. Jesus said He was coming. I'm feeling Him more. The Bible says that He came suddenly. When Paul was knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus, he was going one way and one way only, and he had his thought, like, and the Bible said, suddenly there came a light from heaven. See, your family can be going this way, this way. How's it going? You seen any changes in your kid? Don't lean on that Lord. Don't lean on the Lord like, yeah, they're progressively wonderful if it's happening. But if it's not, don't worry about it, because suddenly, if you just keep praying and just keep ministering to God, there's one Lord that cries out. Hallelujah! Suddenly. The Bible says in the book of Acts that Paul and Silas were in jail and they were praying. They were shut up. Shut up! And then suddenly. Suddenly. Well, what kind of progression? You got $50 more than you did last week? I don't know. I'm not seeing. If that happens, wonderful. That can be an encouragement. If the pinch is going away a little bit at a time, wonderful. That can be an encouragement. If you're getting along a little bit better at the time, if you make a little progression this week that you didn't make last week, count it a blessing. But it does not matter, because suddenly God can change that thing and say, hey, guess what? Lord, those that ruled over the mind, you're going to see it, but you're not going to participate in it. This is a spiritual thing. They're looking into the eternal and not the temporal. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And there were four lepers. Leprous men, they at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? They said, well, we're going to die anyway. Our flesh is going to be eaten up, or these Syrians are going to kill us. I mean, there ain't much to lose here. If we say we will enter into the city, Then the famine in the city. Then the famine is in the city. We shall die there. It's a pretty brilliant deduction. And if we sit here, we'll die also. I mean, these guys. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. I mean, at least if they thrust us through with a sword, they must have been thinking it's better than starvation or this stuff eating up our flesh. He says, if they save us alive, we'll live. And if they kill us, we'll be dead. They rose up in the twilight, early in the morning, to go up to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come unto the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Golly! For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses. I think this was that army that Elisha said, it's the same army. They just following this guy around. See, that's the army that follows me around. Follows you around. Hallelujah. A noise of horses. The Lord made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against the kings of the Hittites, or hired us against us, the king of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and even the camp. It was as they fled for their life. And when the lepers came to the utmost part of the camp, they went into the one tent and did eat and drink. Oh God, these guys are having a time. And they carried away silver and gold and raiment. I mean, these guys are like, oh my God, look at this. We're eating and drinking. I mean, man, look at this piece of gold. You want here, buddy? You want that? Look, take some of this. And they went in and hid it. I mean, they're scurrying like, they're eating like, running out and hiding it under this stump and under that root and saying, man, man, this is great. And they went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence and also went and hid it. I mean, they're just having a party. These four guys are running, laughing, just having a hysterical time. Then they said one to another, this isn't right. We're not doing good here. This day is a day of good tidings. If we hold our peace and tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king the household. So they went and came unto the porter of the city, that's the guy on the wall, and they told him, say, the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there, neither a voice of man, but the horses tied, and the donkeys tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porter, and he told it to the king's house therein. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you. He says, I know what these guys are doing. I know what the Syrians have done. They know that we're hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive. You know, bait, trap, and destroy. Oh, no, they're gone. This king had leaned on this guy so long, even when something good came. What's this going to cost me? That guy needs to die. That guy needs to die. He says, verse 13, and one of his servants answered and said, let us take, I pray thee, 5 horses that remain. So, I mean, everything in the city had been eaten up. I think we got 5 left. There's a few of them left that we haven't ate. And behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as the multitude in the Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see. And they took therefore 2 chariots, horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians and saying, go see. And they went after them to Jordan. We'll skip on down. It says, verse 15, I might as well, since we've gone this far. And they went after them into the Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels. Man, this is our spoil. garments and vessels. And when the Syrians had cast them away in their haste, and the messengers returned and told the king, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians, so a measure of fine flour, just like he'd prophesied 24 hours earlier, the flour was sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge over the gate. Okay, hey buddy, you said that wasn't going to happen. Go down there and make sure everything's taxed in and out. Watch it. This guy gets run over. And the Lord appointed this Lord, the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate, and the people trod upon him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, two measures of barley for a shekel, and a measure of fine flour for a shekel, shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Revival, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole. The men and women of God who say, I'm financing this, the intercessors who stand and birth it, I can tell you this, progression is one thing, but know this, we've sided with Him. And it is not weakness, it is absolute impenetrable strength when there's nothing else for you to report but the Word of the Lord. And on my side, when I hear you report that, I will not think that is weakness speaking through the Word of God. The Word of God is the final say-so. Hallelujah. I might ask you, how's it coming? And you may say, well, in the natural, I can... But listen, I will not judge and say, oh, it's that bad that you have to give me a report from the Word of God. My God, who are we? Amen. Who are we? Our final say-so is not in progression. It changes when we say it changes. And our God is the God of Son. Hallelujah to God. Praise you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands and magnify God with me? Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you. Pure words, Father, never spoken. Would you span the aisle and just grab hands of somebody next to you? We're brothers and brothers and sisters joining hands. Candy and I love you, but most of all, He does. Your situation is not changing. It has changed. You've come up higher. Receive this word, saith the Spirit of grace. You have come up higher. Father, now, take us into this next fold. The very words that we were singing, hearing, the blind see and the lame walk, the maimed are made whole, and everything that you have to do in every personal life, to the person that's standing here who feels empty, without a mate, Christ is your mate. To the divorced who feels cut off, Christ is your union. He is your husband. He is your wife. To the widow and the widower, Christ is the hope of eternity. He is the supplement. He has come. He is your hope for today and hope for tomorrow. He is your communion. He is the bond of every marriage gone bad. He's the strength of every communication unprocessed. He is perfection. You've come up higher. Walk in it. Hallelujah. 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 Before you leave this morning, we are blessed that you'll give and you're blessed in bringing this. So if you have those things filled out, bring those at this time. How many of you were blessed this morning? Amen. How many will agree with me this is a supernatural offering and God blesses it? Amen. You can bring it down. Hallelujah. Glory. We love you.